You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? Well, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help you. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. So to save, visit HealthLock.com today. That's HealthLock.com today.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
All right, folks, check it out. I got shows coming up, and I really want to see you there. So let me give you some specifics so you can get your tickets and make your plans. Now that the world seems to be opening up, now's a great time to get out and laugh with everybody else. So from July 9th to 11th, I'll be in Ontario, California at the Ontario Improv. From July 15th to the 17th, coming to Raleigh, North Carolina at the Raleigh Improv. My first time there. I'm excited. I'll also be in Oklahoma City from August 5th to the 7th at Bricktown Comedy Club. Again, another place that I've never been to before. So I'm excited to go to Oklahoma City. Oklahoma. Anyway, from August 12th to the 14th, I'll be in Liberty Township, Ohio at the Funny Bone. Some people call it the Cincinnati Funny Bone, but really it's in Liberty Township. It's right outside Cincinnati. And then I'm back in California at the American Comedy Company in San Diego, California from August 19th to the 22nd. There will be more dates added to this, and if you want to come out, you come to see me. I'll also be in Abu Dhabi on September 17th at the new Etihad Arena. I will be the first performer there, and you should be there for this premiere event. Well, you know who this is. It's me, Russell Peters, and we're listening to this new episode of Culturally Canceled. On today's episode, we got my homeboy, Ooh, hanging out with us from Nupius. I know a bunch of you are going, who the hell is Ooh and what's a Nupius? Well, he explains it to you. The very funny Franz Cassius, another guy that opens for me, but he's a headliner in his own right as well. And the legendary B-boy from the Rocksteady crew, Crazy Legs. So this one is this one's entertaining for me, and if you're a hip-hop nerd or a b-boy or anything in that world, you're going to want to tune into this one. And if you think it's boring, then that's your problem. Bottom line is you're eavesdropping on my conversations, and that's what this is all about. Welcome to Culturally Canceled. I'm Russell Peters, your host, hence the name Culturally Canceled with Russell, Cancelly Cultured, whatever the fuck I called it. You know, the podcast that I started. Anyway, this is it. Today with me are two of my homeboys and three of my homeboys, and one of them's actually a legendary guy. One's a legendary gangster, and the other one is my friend Ooh. Just kidding.
That's all right.
So on my left, we got my boy Ooh sitting in with us from Nupius. Tell me what Nupius stands for again.
N-E-U, that's new, P, that's power, E, that's four, and then us, new power for us.
Wait, P, E is four?
Yeah, E is four.
Like it's the Latin. Fourth letter?
Yeah.
Oh.
What's wrong with
that? So is Eddie's name 40?
It could be.
Oh, I didn't know he was the four. I see how you got me on that one.
Yeah, dig that.
See? You see, you did too much.
No.
You did too much because...
Look here, see, listen, you strictly boom bap, so that, you know what I mean? That should really fit where you at with it. You know what I'm saying? On a real...
No, I mean, I like the X-Clan. And they had all the weird stuff going on. But anyway, right directly across from me is Franz Cassius.
What's up?
Comedian extraordinaire, one of my buddies. He's on the road with me lately quite a bit.
Yes.
He took some time off from the game, came back, and he's been He's been knocking it out the park every show.
I'm back.
Welcome to the show, Schwantz.
Thank you, bro. Thank you.
And then obviously we have the legendary Rocksteady Crew, face of the Rocksteady Crew, whether people know it or not, whether he wants to admit it or not. When people think of the Rocksteady Crew, they think of Crazy Legs, and right beside me is Ricardo Crazy Legs Colon.
I'm glad you didn't say colon and leave the accent out.
Well, you know, that'd be weird.
Yeah, it's
because then I call you Crazy Colon, and that's when you get older and you're incontinent.
Did that? You had a whole other thing for it.
I just made it up.
Oh, all right.
So, is your first time meeting Legs now, Franz?
Yeah, it's my first time.
Because you're a New York guy too, right?
Yeah, we never met. But I mean, he's a New York City star.
He's a world star.
Too kind.
Yeah.
Because you met Legs at my house before, right, Ooh?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Who's a West Coast legend, too. He's very West Coast, like, teaches me how to stand and how to throw up gang signs. So it's really nice.
Somebody has to do it.
Yeah, because I'd be throwing up the wrong ones. Like, you're going to get killed throwing that shit up. Yeah, and I'm like, you know what?
It's a strong possibility.
Yeah, so he guides me in the right direction with my wrong direction.
I needed to learn how to wear my hat the right way in Chicago one time.
Really?
My first tour, we went there. This dude comes up.
What year are we talking?
This is 81. Hmm. And actually, that was the first year I went to Toronto. The last stop was Toronto.
In 81?
In 81, the kitchen tour. Eric Bogosian was on it.
Wow.
Yeah.
What was he doing on it?
His stand-up.
Oh, right. He used to be a stand-up, and he was a radio host, right?
Mm-hmm. And, this guy comes up to me like, yo, what set you from? What the fuck are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about. You wearing your hat to the side? I'm like, yeah, I'm a B-boy. He didn't know what I was talking about because Breaking didn't make it out there yet. And he was just like, yo, you know, people are going to run up on you if they see you. Just like this, wearing my hat a little bit to the side.
Right.
It was a gang affiliation thing for them.
Yeah, I try wearing my hat sideways, and it never works. I swear it never works for me.
Now you don't got the slant
hat? Nah, I can't do it. I try it. Even with these hats, I'll be like, it'll look good, but then I'll be uncomfortable as fuck because I'm a Libra, I guess, because I need to be balanced. I'll put that shit centered again. Come on. I was just picturing my dad going, put the hat on straight, you idiot. That's how I picture it. So.
Yeah. Nah, I think it's not just about gangs. It's just about whatever, you know, cats are on at that particular time. You know,
Chicago's still like that, though.
I think everywhere is. Though.
I think.
Yeah,
you know I could be wrong.
Everywhere
it is. LA is probably
they try.
Well, I'm just
New
talking
York,
about the hat situation.
You know what?
Nah, they down there gangbanging right now.
Where?
In New York.
Yeah.
Now they are, but I mean, that's only like 25 years old, right?
Quite like through even much smaller cities. Yeah. Even much smaller cities. It ain't quite like the real regular killing per capita per mile. Mm. I don't know. Chicago itself might beat out New
Chicago,
York.
Well, each city, you know, does each city does their own thing.
And it's about, you know what I mean? But it's New York.
We got to be cool because we're stacked up. Mm. So you can't have beef with everybody. You know, over here, you got beef with somebody from another neighborhood. You need gas money, or you know, just to continue just to beef.
Yeah, drive-bys are too expensive to do right now.
Yeah.
Chicago, there's been a decrease in those.
Use a bike.
Chicago right now. And I think that's being purposely done, believe it or not. But
that part is a whole other angle.
But the gas?
Yeah.
The gas prices being so high?
The drugs.
Everything.
To kill drive-bys?
Damn. I like your cup. Shout out to the low lives.
You see what happened with Nipsey? They've been
some blood kids.
Some blood kids. You know what I'm saying?
That's a whole nother.
That's going to be a problem protocol for that whole section.
But they went over like a mural.
They went over a mural.
Yeah, they went over his mural.
And put the mural out.
Put some kid's name on it. And
come on now.
They got to be
That's not.
There used to be a code.
There's something behind that, man. There's something behind that.
It's not real street shit anymore. It's not at all.
Yeah.
You know, the problem is I'm not making this a joke, but I really feel like this whole younger generation that's just shooting willy-nilly everybody came up playing Grand Theft Auto, where you just shot people willy-nilly and it meant nothing. It was almost funny.
You tap in on what you popping, though. That's real, though. And games like that also. It wasn't just that game, but that one did shoot it through the roof.
Yeah, because that one made it more urban.
Yeah.
They set it in urban settings. The
soundtracks,
other ones were,
all of that.
Yeah, the other ones were set in war settings. You know what I mean? Where it was like, okay, you're at war. This is what you're going to do. But now it's just like, oh, I'm just driving down the street. Let's go kill somebody. And then
And then
go get a burger. You know what I mean? Like, the fun part was trying to get away with it.
Well, the consequence
is a different situation. How many bodies did each side could body?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Crazy, just...
That's some serious conditioning.
Like dogs and cats.
I really believe what he was saying
right now. Cats and dogs see each other, instant enemy. It's crazy.
Yeah. You know, you couldn't do that. I mean, in New York, it's harder to do that because when you make the block hot, it's different. You can't.
That's crazy.
The OGs will come down and, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
I'm trying to live my life right now. And you're making the block hot.
But
they'll kill the OGs too.
Now there's no code. You got the youngins doing their thing.
The G's, they're doing their thing. Like, everybody is doing their own thing. So it's separated like that. There is no more of a straight line. Well, I don't want to say unity because it's all still the same hood, but they not kicking it together. Let's just say it like that.
So, whereas when you were younger, you would
respect the OGs.
They're not in tune with each other.
And now the OGs are beefing with the young G's. Right. And you're like, what the fuck is going on?
Right.
Who are you going to learn game from? You got to learn from these guys.
Exactly.
Yeah, but if somebody feels that they know, you know what I mean, then it's kind of hard to communicate.
Or they look at your plan and the way you did it different from them. And it's like, yo, you do it your way. I don't need your advice,
blah, blah, blah.
I'm doing it this way. I'm getting paid this way. You feel me?
Well, you got to
think getting paid
it.
This way. Good. Thanks, but don't. No thanks. I don't need your rules. I don't need your call. That's the way the young boys are now.
Remember, Scared Straight?
Dope. They talking about cryptocurrency. So you got to look at the communication.
Yeah, they went from crypto. They went from crypto into crypto.
Yeah. So you know, it's a whole nother lane. Yeah.
They went from bloods to blood money.
Oh no. That's funny.
They went from Pyru to Poke.
No, but that's what it is, though. So it's like this, though. I'm not saying that all they do is bad or all they do is good, and that's on either level. I'm just saying that the stuff that we had to do, they didn't have to do. So whatever we did to get money, you know what I mean? That they don't have to do that. You see what I'm saying? Think about it.
Yeah,
weed is legal.
Everything changes.
You know what I'm saying?
Everything changes. It's totally changed from when the old OGs was young.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's a whole different system now.
Indeed.
And they ain't trying to hear no OG system
from them.
That's
what I'm saying.
Yeah, to them, it's like, motherfucker, shut up. You was in jail, the internet.
They look at it like, yo, I'm doubling, tripling what you used to make, OG. It's a different time.
But you know what?
You know what I'm saying? Different time. You made millions, I'm making billions.
And a lot of cats don't have fathers growing up, so they don't really respect other men.
I can dig that too.
I didn't have a father. Mm.
And look at how you are when you talk to men.
Nah, I'm just saying, you know, so it's like, look at it like music wise, right? Mm. How a young cat, you know what I'm saying? He called, you know, a legend like him, like, oh, that's that old shit. You know what I mean? Not really knowing what it is or respecting it. It's the same thing with the streets. It's like they know who he is and all of that right there. It's just they feel how they feel. They feel they can.
But
do
you know,
it
but I,
right,
I,
exactly.
But also, I don't have a. I don't
and
have
they
a
don't,
sense
they
of
don't
entitlement.
Ditch your
though.
Plan. They just feel like, okay, that worked for you. That's cool.
Nah,
lived your life. I'm young now. I'm young and you know hungry.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. I'm doing it my way. My plan is already working. So whatever you're trying to tell me, yeah, I'm good.
But I mean, I think a lot of old school heads have, especially in hip hop, have this sense of entitlement where they think everyone's gonna bow down to them. And me, I don't give a shit about none of that stuff. Like, yo, let the young people live. I don't care. They want to rock their music. I'm not judging them. That's the soundtrack to their lives.
Our parents
right now.
Did that to us. You know what I'm saying? Our parents would say, our music
mine didn't,
is dumb.
But I was lucky, but I get what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I was that kid who
they
like
thought their music from the 60s was better than the 70s and their whole culture and everything was better.
I mean, that's just generational. We think our music's better than this kid's music, and they think our music is trash. And
it goes on and on, and it gets worse and worse to every generation.
You know what I'm saying? But above and beyond the musical degeneration, we're watching civilization degenerate too. Codes are gone. Street codes are gone.
Exactly.
Snitching is okay.
Yes.
Yeah. I wasn't making a
murder. Murder is okay.
Murder's always been there, but the snitching part.
No, but murder. No, but, just murdering. Like
a lot. Look, a lot of stuff is just being reported. Cats been killing cats. I mean, that's never stopped. Whether it's East Coast, West Coast, or whatever. Well, what I'm saying is that motives, actions, thought process, all that's different now.
Well, the cops are getting caught now.
So, yeah.
You know.
We deserve to know what we're putting in our bodies and why, especially when it comes to something we take every day. Ritual's clean, vegan-friendly multivitamin is formulated with high-quality nutrients in bioavailable forms your body can actually use. What you won't find? Sugars, GMOs, major allergens, synthetic fillers, and artificial colorants. Plus, the fresh taste and delayed-release capsule design make taking your vitamins easy. Sometimes supplements have that chalky taste, which I'm aware of, but Ritual capsules are actually pleasant-tasting when you put them in your mouth. They're actually refreshing. It's helped me get in the habit of taking my vitamins every day. I like putting tasty things in my mouth, so if a vitamin is tasty, I'm just more likely to take it. Ritual is the multivitamin reimagined. A multivitamin should contain key nutrients and forms your body can actually use to help fill gaps in the diet. No shady extras. Nobody likes a shady extra just standing there not serving a purpose. Anyway, Ritual's delayed-release capsule design delivers high-quality nutrients, including vitamin D3, in just 2 daily pills. And Ritual makes healthy habits easy. Your multivitamins are delivered to your door every month with free shipping. Always. You can start, snooze, or cancel your subscription anytime. And if you don't love Ritual within your first month, they'll refund your first order. You can't lose. Get key nutrients without the BS. Ritual is offering my listeners 10% off your first 3 months. Visit ritual.com/Peters to start your Ritual today. That's ritual.com/Peters for 10% off your first 3 months.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today
at purdueglobal.edu.
And becoming a troll is actually a viable lifestyle.
Yeah, word.
Literally, I mean, you look at the Jake Paul and the Logan word. Pauls and the Tekashi 6ix9ines and all them guys, their whole basis is being a fucking troll.
I have a whole other opinion about Tekashi 6ix9ine because just knowing the story of how they, and I don't know if it's wrong or if I got bad data, but dude was like a cashier or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then they basically brought him into their world, turned him into something that he wasn't trying to be. He ends up snitching on them. But it, to me, it's like, yo, well, you try to turn the cashier into something that you were and didn't even qualify him. Didn't know. You had to know that he was going to snitch once he got hemmed up. He's not of that background.
But the worst part is he snitched and came out and got a fucking deal. That's the part. It's like he's being rewarded.
Well, see, but
whoever put him on, they have to be held accountable for, like,
and he's talking
not
shit
qualifying
about
this dude.
He's talking shit.
You gotta
about
qualify.
Like, yeah, I did it. I snitched, so what?
That's
and fuck you.
Yeah. He's a snitch and a
but see, it's like this. There's he's no like, it's no consequences. See, once upon a time there was consequences for different actions.
Right.
There are no consequences no more. So
yeah, but
that,
he don't walk around without security.
We know he ain't finna walk around without security because he knows somebody
he
knocks
somebody
his
gonna touch his ass.
But this is it's not like he even doing any of the stuff that everybody's talking about. He was like when he came out here, he slid in and slid out. Nobody knew he was here.
But at the same time, I kind of get him because like people are coming at him. And I would say myself to ignore them, but as a 23-year-old man who's making so much money.
He's not a man. He's a boy.
Yeah.
I agree.
Listen, how old is Tekashi, Eddie?
You're talking about bread versus bullets, though.
If some people keep coming at you and trying to, you know, people keep coming at you and trying to, like, you know, oh, yeah, so when you get money, they go, fuck you, you know.
25.
People you don't know, like total strangers, you know, other people in the business who have made it themselves, you know, they're rappers or whatever. I mean, okay, he snitched. That's a bad thing. Of course, it's a bad thing, but, you know, as a man, period, like, even before that, before he snitched, you know, if niggas is trying to boss you around, tell you what to do with your money, like, yo, I made this. This is me. I'm 6ix9ine. You, who the fuck are you to, you know, people trying to...
Nah, the problem is he puts himself in that position.
Yeah, I can't even qualify that.
He puts himself in that position to do that.
Well, he did put... You're right, and you're absolutely right.
No, the way he be talking to people...
Gangs.
No, but talking,
you know,
all out,
thinking,
and,
you know, throwing up gang signs.
Yeah,
whatever.
But they recruited him and turned him into that. That's what I'm saying. It's like, yo, you like,
didn't
somebody say, yo, you know, don't fuck with Shorty because it's kind of suspect. Like, we can't really, you know,
no, they all
expect
fucking
him
suspects
to ride like that. You know, I just like he was a cashier, like he was working in the market in the supermarket, and somebody created this image for him or told him to be something. And then,
oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, he tried to live up to, and
6ix9ine,
from what I'm gathering, he tried to live up to that persona. It backfired on the people who brought him into their
world.
But
he is from the hood, too, right? He's
from Brooklyn.
He's from Brooklyn, yeah.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean.
I think he's from Bushwick.
I think a big misnomer
is just being Puerto Rican, being from Bushwick.
He's not. He's not even Puerto Rican. He's Mexican.
No, he's Mexican and Puerto Rican.
He's half Puerto Rican.
Listen,
half
people
Mexican.
Really have this misunderstanding about the hood that it's full of thugs and gangsters. There's, I would say, more nerds in the hood than there are gangsters
indeed.
In the hood.
Yes, yeah, you know.
There's a lot of regular, normal nerds trying to do their schoolwork.
The
other day, right, at the show.
That is the huge misconception.
Running around.
Oh, yeah, there was some guy trying to act hood at our hotel. Outside, we was having cigars, and he tried to start fights. And I'm sitting there with my laptop open. He's like, hey, no, don't let him. I go, let him fight. They're not going to fight. I literally have my laptop open. This guy's barking right by me. I go, he walked past me, and somebody knocked over a bottle of water, so... I tried to kick the bottle out the way, and he goes, "You trying to fucking trip me?"
Yeah,
and I look at him, and I go, "Really, motherfucker?
It's
this what
Chicago.
You want?"
It's
I go, "Is this really how you want?" Like, I'm like, "Really?"
That's real
and
Chicago.
That was that day you tried wearing your hat to the side, right?
Yeah, I wasn't even fucking phased. I was like, "I know you ain't gonna do shit."
Was this sober, Russell? I was sober.
Yo, this shit was funny, man. This dude,
yeah.
Out of shape, tall, young motherfucker. He was big. He was young, but he was drunk.
He was like 6'4", but he's all, you could see his pudge.
Yeah, yeah, he's pudge, drunk
and all
as
fucking
shit.
Talk, bark,
he's
bark,
like
bark.
Slurring like, when he's talking.
Yeah, that's an easy drop right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah. So,
nah, but that's how people feel.
So he, this Italian dude that was with us, who was that, Hop, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was Hop. This Italian dude was bigger than him, almost his size, about the same size. He was a little bit taller, but they were both big dudes. So, oh boy, you know, got him with this Italian. Like, yo, come on, I'm not. Yo, Russ is just sitting there with his legs like, yo, let it go, let it go. They ain't gonna do shit, let him go.
There was too much like,
content.
Yeah, it was too much
talking. There was too much talking.
He ain't gonna do shit. So they go around circling each other and they're like, yo, what you want to do? What the fuck you want to do? Fuck you want, yo, fuck you want to do?
You know what it sound like?
Sweet,
if you take, so listen, if you, like, listen, if you take the conversation they had when they were fighting
right.
and make it a male and a female and soften the tone, it sounds like a couple arguing about what you want to do for dinner.
Yo, this dude out of nowhere.
What you want to do?
He comes out of nowhere. We're sitting just like this.
Yeah.
Am I not right?
Literally, it's the exact same conversation. Yo, what you want to do? What you fuck do you mean what I want to do? Motherfucker, why are we talking about it? If you want to fight, we would have been fighting.
Hilarious, dog. Russ was just sitting there like, yeah, he ain't got to do
nothing.
They ain't got to do nothing. Just let him. And I'm over here making
that,
peacemaker,
that's how
right?
feeling, man.
I'm being, I'm being on once to die.
Nah, fake.
This is why we this is why we have ghetto PTSD, because all these stories, all this bullshit that we live.
Man, it's a mission to come out the house. You dig? To make it to the liquor store, to make it to work, to make it back home.
Yeah, I was traumatized when my mother first sent me out to go buy a Kotex for her. And it was raining, the bag broke.
How old were you?
And it absorbed
all the rain?
I was like 9 years old.
Oh. 9 years old, yeah.
Mine's almost as bad as his. Like, my head
no, I knew.
With shit, the
9 years old in the hood, you're like 17.
Yeah, yeah, you know? Right. You get to see that shit all around the house. Shit.
Nah, I had to go with the food stamp pack, though. You know the paper ones?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, see, back then, you could buy Kotex and all that old type of shit.
Yeah.
So my head cheese would send me to the store to get her stuff. I got to pull out. Not only do I got the big-ass thing of Kotex and all that type of shit.
What, the purple or the blue box?
It was the blue. No, the purple. You right.
Those are the ones that were like, right. mattresses.
Bro,
yeah.
Those are like the long pillows in hotels.
That was the worst shit that ever happened in my life. Yeah, you got to bring the book out, and then the lady trying to act like she can't find it and shit. You know it's at the back, man. Take that little
Now it's like super heavy overnight with wings and all kinds of shit.
Yeah,
like,
and when and when the box broke on legs, it soaked up all the puddles in New York.
Hey, man, look here. All I know is traumatized is traumatized.
Yeah, man.
Don't send your kids to the store to get nothing for y'all with the EBT cards and all that other jazz.
Remember,
man,
you could buy cigarettes for your parents if they wrote a note?
Yep. I remember.
And you could get
things.
Them liquor.
Yeah.
Yeah, they would.
Shit, we didn't even have
your parents
write a
write
note
you a
back
note.
Then.
I give my son permission to buy the blah, blah, blah.
Wow.
And you'd give it to him. The guy would give it to you, and that was it.
Yeah.
Oh, let me authenticate this first.
Yeah, there was some.
They used to always be one store note. In the hood that would let you get credit and stuff, too. You know what I'm saying? You get some milk, some cheese, some eggs, stuff like that.
My credit was all messed up.
I ain't say mine was
That's
good.
That's funny. You could be on welfare and get credit.
Well, you get hood credit. It wasn't like you got
credit,
real credit.
Yeah. Corner store credit.
You weren't getting a car.
And the corner store is right next door to the number spot.
Right, right.
Why y'all
My mother
to act like y'all missed
needed
that?
Credit at the grocery That's store, was. But was always at the number spot.
Yeah.
Nah, look here. Number spots is what kept America going. Don't nobody want to admit that. You dig what I'm saying?
Nah, I don't know too many running. People that hit like that.
I ain't say nobody hit. I said number spots was what kept, because them gambling shacks kept money going, kept money flowing.
Yeah.
You had to believe in something.
Yeah, well, I stole my first pair of good sneakers.
I was the lookout for the guys to steal sneakers. There was a store in our mall called Shoe World. And just like 85, 86, and they had all the shoes out. They never had like a stock room, really. They had a stock room with extra shit in it, but for the most part, everything was out in pairs. So they would send me in because I looked like a nerdy little Indian kid. Mm-hmm. I would ask for something we knew wasn't out.
You were never a nerd, bro.
I was. Always. And I walk in. I go, hey, do you have blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah? I didn't find it out there. Oh, okay. Let me go in the back and check. And as soon as she go to the back, wham, they clear the shelf.
Yeah.
And then she come back out. And I'm like, okay, thank you. You don't have it? Okay, thank you.
Oh, we would just change the size. Like, yeah, let me get a 7.5 instead.
Yeah. That's what you do. You go in and you have your boy.
Oh, we didn't need to do all that. I would just did the send the jig in the bag, and then these guys would clear
slick.
The shelves.
That is
this is in Toronto, right? Right? They really trust you guys over there.
They ain't lying.
Here's the thing. Here's the worst part about it. I would help them do this, and then they would sell me the shoes they stole. I'm like, wait, I fucking helped you steal this shit. Yeah. I'll give it to you. Give me $5. I'll give you a pair. I'm like, I don't have $5.
Ain't nothing like going to go do something and you get into it. You did what I'm saying? Me like that right there. You know, you got to know what it is ahead of time before you go get into it. For real. But nah, what you do though, Russ, that's what you do. You send them in the store.
Wait, why are we still doing this? We're all men in our 50s and you want to fucking figure out how to get some
Yo, we're going to go to Foot Locker after this and get some kicks.
Hey, listen, this is why they don't listen to the OGs.
If you gotta do something like that, you might as well.
There you go.
Might as well go to the rail yard. The rail yard is where the real shit is.
God,
it's like, hey, you did this shit before.
What's the rail yard?
Yeah. Where all the shit comes in.
You're talking about hitting the containers.
Oh, we used to when I was a kid and we were straight Starving Marvin status, and you go to a jam underground social club in a basement of a building, and we would literally. At 3 o'clock in the morning, 3-4 o'clock, we go to the bakery, catch them loading up the bread. When they go inside, because we were starving, we just run inside the truck, grab all the bread, and that was our munchies after a jam. That's like 78, 77.
Y'all was b-boying already, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. B-boy.
How deep was the crew in 78, 77?
I was.
You started when?
I didn't join a crew. I started in 77, but I didn't join a crew until like a year later, which was called the Bronx Boys. And then I got into Rocksteady in 79.
Who started Rocksteady?
Two brothers by the name of Jimmy D and Jimmy Lee.
And they let you in?
Yeah, I had to earn my way in. I mean, they treated me like a scrub at first, but that was normal. I mean, back then, to be dissed back then was also followed by maybe like them helping you out.
But well, yeah, back then
your shit was trash.
Because it had to be earned.
Yeah.
It wasn't just given to you back then. Everything was earned.
Yeah.
That's why we don't have a sense of entitlement because we earned everything.
Look up Jimmy D and Jimmy Lee. You'll probably find a picture of them.
What year is that picture?
That year. That
is that
picture,
Baby Love on the
floor? That's 83. Yeah, that's Baby Love. 83.
I tell you, I used to have a crush on Baby Love.
When did you guys let girls in?
We always had girls in Rocksteady. Ah, bullshit. Wait a second. I was the one who brought girls into Rocksteady.
Ah.
Yeah. So we started putting girls in Rocksteady.
Those of them? 80.
Yep, that's Jimmy D and Jimmy Lee. Those two were pretty notorious in the Bronx. I don't really want to get into the details of it.
But wait, were they good?
Oh, they were top tier.
Really?
Top tier B-boys, yeah, definitely.
Wait, but then how many people was
so
in the
school? All right, so go back to that dude on the left. His name is Batch. He's an original B-boy from back in the days. So he was the leader of the Bronx Boys.
Batch?
Yeah.
That's on like a graffiti name.
Yeah, he was a graffiti writer also. So Jimmy D and Jimmy Lee went bombing with Batch and all these other people. And Jimmy D and Jimmy Lee didn't want to be graffiti writers. They wanted to start breaking, you know, break more. So one day after going writing, they formed Rocksteady Crew, got the blessing of Batch. And they, you know, they were always...
Wait, hold on a second. Jimmy D and Jimmy Lee got the blessing for Rocksteady Crew from Batch?
No, from Batch. Yeah, from because Batch. They were part of the Bronx Boys.
Okay, but so who came up with the name Rocksteady Crew?
Huh?
Who came up with the name Rocksteady Crew?
Well, breaking was more called rocking also back
right,
then.
Right.
So because Jimmy D and Jimmy Lee were always battling, they used to tell them, yo, you guys stay battling, stay steady battling. Mm-hmm. And they just formed Rocksteady Crew because of the name of the dance and their... always battling.
Ah, they steady rocking.
Yeah, rock. Yeah.
Even that, see that picture's what, like 76, 77?
That, yeah, that had to be with those shirts, it had to be like, yeah, around 77, 78.
Damn.
I mean, look at the Lees, the bell-bottom like, Lees all rolled up like that.
That was the year of blackout.
Yeah, that was the year of the blackout. Yeah,
I was in Manhattan.
I was actually in Brooklyn when the blackout happened.
I was in Manhattan on my grandmother's on 94th in Columbus.
Okay.
That whole outfit looks badass. I'm like, I'd rock that shit right now.
Yeah, Jimmy D on one. I'm with him.
Oh, yeah, they had the house medallions.
That's dope.
Adidas and Pumas.
And those dudes were definitely notorious in the Bronx.
So they got down.
They were
outside of B-Boying.
Yes, they did.
They got busy.
They got very busy.
Did they get hemmed up at all?
One did. Jimmy Lee got hemmed up.
But they're both alive still?
Yeah. Jimmy D became a career military person. Did, I think, at least 25 years in the Navy, like really high ranking.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
He did the Antoine Fisher.
Basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He did the Antoine Fisher.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's dope. And what about Jimmy Lee? Is he Puerto Rican, Jimmy Lee?
Yeah. They're both. Jimmy D is black and Puerto Rican, and Jimmy Lee's Puerto Rican. And Jimmy Lee is on extended vacation since 83.
Well, damn.
Yeah.
Is he coming out?
He went in under the Rockefeller laws, so that's a problem. Mm. You know, but they've recently changed those things, so who knows?
He has a chance.
Hopefully, he, you know, nothing.
Vacate his sentence.
Well, hopefully not. Well, yeah, it depends. But if you catch all the charges while you're in there, I don't know how that works.
When you're in there, you're definitely going to catch other charges.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's just the way it's set up.
Yeah.
Yep, yep.
It ain't nursery school. That's for damn sure.
Sure ain't.
Not at all.
You're not in there for a slap on the wrist.
Yes,
You're not in there to get better. You're in there
to
be reminded.
Yeah. But it was bugged out back then because a lot of dudes that I met when I first started breaking were all stick-up kids.
Is that Eclipse standing in the back there?
Yes. My introduction to Rocksteady Crew, mm-hmm. I was brought to go rob someone.
Okay, so you were part of the Rocksteady Crew.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, but we weren't successful that night, so I, you know.
What kind of robbery was it?
Oh, that was just like a snatch a purse kind of thing. Oh,
okay.
Meanwhile, there's no one out at night anyway in the Bronx.
So
but I elevated Rocksteady my skills in those things as well.
Is that Rozelle standing up? No.
Yes, it is. Okay, Rozelle was Rocksteady. JS1.
Where's JS1?
Right next to Rozelle.
Your back?
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, the tall white boy behind it?
Yes.
So on the other side of Eclipse there?
Yes. Yeah, we put the white people in the back.
Mm-hmm. Dig that. And that guy with the brown shirt looked like the kid from NYPD on New York Undercover.
Which one? Oh, Michael Kel?
He looked like Michael DiLorenzo, doesn't he?
That's Kel First, man. Graffiti writer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Who's that down on the bottom right?
Fable.
Oh, right. Shit.
Mm-hmm.
Pop Master Fable.
And then you got Little Lep in the middle.
The little guy?
Yeah. And then Bones Malone with the hat.
Ah, Bones. Is he? I like Bones Malone.
Bones is an amazing writer. His skill level is ridiculous. Nice.
Yeah. Spells it with a Z.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Let's get back to this. You hit this lick to get in.
Huh?
I want to know about that.
What about him?
He was in Rocksteady too.
Yeah, Mr. Freeze, Frosty Freeze, but Frosty Freeze died.
So you ain't have to break or nothing?
Yeah, he looked kind of wild there.
You ain't had to break or nothing? You didn't have to battle
Bones
nobody?
Well, Bones Malone was a graffiti writer.
No, I'm talking about you.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so me and my cousin Lenny Len battled Jimmy D and Jimmy Lee to get into Rocksteady. We lost, but we did really well in the battles. So it wasn't about winning the battles. Like, yo, how are you developing and how are you handling yourself right now in this situation?
So 77, what moves were you doing at that point?
There were very few moves, especially for me. I was a scrub. So the thing was, you basically learn the move and you try to be ambidextrous with every move that you learn.
Yeah, go to the right, go to the left.
To make it appear like you have more.
Mm-hmm. I used to do that shit. I would do this one. It was an awful move. I was trying to copy you.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to, what we were calling a shuffle back then on the ground.
Mm-hmm. Footwork.
Footwork. See, us footwork was top rocking. So,
All right.
So what we were calling shuffling, I was trying to do yours, and yours was always so fucking ill.
So here's the thing. I go to Japan one day, and these cats, and this is like in the 90s, early 90s, and we get there, this guy's like, hey, we in Japan, we do footwork like you. And I was like, me? Like, what do you mean? Like, six step? I just do it. I don't do anything. Mm-hmm. Oh, no. Like this, when we do our footwork, it's
feet pigeon-toed?
I'm like, yo, I was born that way. Like, so they literally developed their style to look like the way my feet are.
They thought you were pigeon-toed?
Huh?
Were you pigeon? You're not pigeon-toed.
Yeah. Bro, I was born crazy legs. I literally had the Forrest Gump bars on my legs.
Hilarious.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
Yeah.
Wow. You really had crazy legs.
I ain't gonna front, homie. I ain't gonna front same
here. That's dope.
Yeah. Well,
was your mom from Puerto Rico or was she New Yorkian?
My mom was born in Spanish Harlem.
Hmm.
Oh, okay.
Pops?
Puerto Rico.
Okay. Then he moved back?
Boricua.
Then he moved to the Bronx and, you know, part of that migration that was sold a dream by the United States. Mm-hmm. And then got here, became like hard laborers.
That's a whole really? Another show.
That's a whole another.
Yeah, the Bronx, especially in the 60s.
That's the old bait and switch for everybody.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Happened to every non-white ethnic group in the world. Happened to Indian people in Africa, in the West Indies, same shit. They, hey, come here, we'll give you this, and you can make this and this, and then you can go back to India.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's a one-way ticket. You're not going back.
My father came up here, up in the States, and ended up making plastic bags in the Bronx.
Wow.
That's it.
And you ended up wearing nylon pants. So isn't that a trip?
Dad's still alive?
Nah, he passed away.
Okay, yeah, mine too.
Oh, way to bring this fucking show down, guys. Jesus.
Yeah, man. let's talk about murder again.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? He was pumped on that part. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Wow. Let's get Angelo back.
Hey,
here.
Wow.
It happened.
Yeah, Angelo's funny, man.
So for people that don't know this about me, and I might have said it before, but people always go, Russell, you're so involved with hip-hop. You love the hip-hop culture. I go, yes, I do. And they're like, what is it? What is it about the hip-hop culture? And people think hip-hop is just a music, and that's the part that bothers me, because I'm from the generation where we knew about the elements of hip-hop, and it was obviously, you know, DJing, MCing, graffiti, and b-boying. And people go, what got you into it? And this man right here is literally the sole reason that I'm so into hip-hop today, because it came to me at a time where I had no identity. I didn't know who the fuck I was. I didn't know what I was. I had nothing to define me. And it was watching him and Flashdance and Wild Style and Beat Street. And I was like, to me, it was like the coolest motherfucker on the planet when I was a kid. Even with that wild afro you had, I was just like, yo, everything he does.
There was no
so dope.
Such thing as a shape up back then.
No, there was none. And if you had, remember, who was it? Was it Frosty who had a really clean, perfect afro?
Yeah, Frosty. Yeah, Frosty had more money than me. He lived on 93rd and Columbus. I lived in the Bronx. Shit.
That's three blocks away from my grandma.
Yeah.
Right there.
I bet your grandma's dead.
Yeah. Joan of Arc High School. Wait, I missed that. He said that grandma. He said, yeah, you said.
I bet your grandma's dead.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Oh, man.
So wait a second. Were you scuffing up your mom's floors?
I didn't have a house big enough to scuff up. It was a hallway. You're not gonna fucking fuck up that hallway.
So that picture is when we were doing Star Wars.
No. Star Wars. Well, it was shot in 82.
It was shot
because in the
different periods, because there was an issue.
Oh, okay. Star Wars was more about graffiti though, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it just so happened that Henry Chalfant ended up using us in it because we had already established a relationship with him.
What was the issue with the two periods?
I don't know. There was, I think, they ran out of money.
Wild Style did.
Yeah.
That could be a problem.
Just saying. It caused a little delay.
Yeah.
Shit, I know.
Wild Style was a classic show. So,
oh, man. The theater, we went, the Circle Theater in the Bronx.
I wish I could have seen it in the fucking
theater. Yo, the cloud of smoke in there.
Don't you wish you could have seen the movie in the theater then, too?
Yeah. I must say, yeah.
Yo, so much weed and liquor in that movie theater.
How'd you feel doing that one, though?
I don't know, man. We were just
he didn't know.
Young.
He was just,
honestly, we didn't know shit.
The first time I saw it, I thought it was a fucking documentary.
Word?
Yeah, because there was, I was like, everybody looks like a real person.
Mm-hmm.
Like nobody looked Hollywood-ish. And Lee Quiñones had that fucked up scratch scar across his nose. And I was like, yo, this. And then I realized Lee must have been a real graffiti artist because his acting was horrible.
Yeah, if you can remove
you still
the
see
acting.
Lee?
Yeah.
Where's he at?
He's still doing his art. He's
I've
amazing.
Never met him.
He's amazing. He's a great brother to know.
I never met
he's
Lee Quiñones.
Super
he looks
humble.
The same.
Super humble. Oh, he still looks bad?
Shit. Yeah, but he actually looks better bad now, though.
He's a better look of bad now. That's my bro, man. He's one of the most beautiful people you can meet in the game.
Is he Russian?
No.
Puerto Rican?
Yeah. How are you going to be? What?
Lee the Quiñones from San Juan, Russia.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not Lee Quiñonezov.
Quiñones. Is he Russian? Yeah, a little bit.
It was Russian to get out the hood is what he was doing.
See, we all had busted afros back then.
That's crazy. When did you stop, like, actually, you know, Sammy dancing?
He didn't stop dancing.
I mean, know he still breaks. But
I would say
competing. I should say
competing. Battling. My last competition was 5 years ago. No bullshit. Like 2 years ago, in Houston.
He was already in his 50s.
Yeah, yeah. And then
you battled
like,
somebody.
Yeah.
That's what I'm sitting here tripping off.
How old was the person you battled?
It was a battle in Houston. They were doing a Rebel BC One event, and they had the Rebel BC One All Stars versus a local squad, and then one of the guys from Rocksteady was going to represent for the local squad. And I was just like, all right, well, you know, I'm just going to jump in with the Rebel BC One All-Stars and go after my own dude and my own crew.
Right.
And yeah, that was it. I only danced like a couple of times, re-injured myself as usual.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the way it should go at this age.
Did you exactly. Win? Right on schedule.
Did you win?
It wasn't even about, it wasn't
it was just about showing
like
what you
it was
could
just
do?
Like an exhibition battle, but yeah, it didn't matter.
What was your toughest battle?
These days? Oh, my toughest battle? Shit, man. I don't look at it that way.
Or how about this? Who was your biggest nemesis?
My biggest nemesis.
The crew's biggest nemesis. Was it New York City Breakers?
It was between New York City Breakers and Dynamic. Dynamic was first, but then they kind of faded away, so we needed someone else. But New York City Breakers was that other crew.
Eddie's learning how to spell New York City.
And they had the Kiss Breakers too, right?
Oh yeah,
98.7 Kiss.
Yeah, but they weren't a real crew. That was like some promo stuff.
Yeah, because that don't even sound right. The Kiss Breakers.
Well, 98.7 Kiss radio station.
Yeah, they were big back in New York.
Yeah, but it still doesn't sound right.
Yeah. You got. I'm waiting on y'all to change how it sounds.
Kiss was a huge. Kiss was.
They were doing gigs all over the city for free. Yeah. Free outdoor.
I mean, they had freestyle down.
But didn't Kiss only play hip hop on Saturday nights?
No, this is earlier. It became a hip hop station.
This is earlier.
Yeah, Kiss became a big hip hop station, and Kiss and
who was
BLS.
On Kiss?
BLS.
Mr. Magic was on BLS, right?
No, he was HBI. WHBI.
Yeah, it's between Kiss and Awesome and WBLS. Yep. Those were the two big stations.
I only know that because of KRS-One. I used to listen to Austin too on WHBI. Yeah.
WBLS was before Kiss.
But you know who's, I guess, unsung Africa Islam, because he has Zulu Beats. And Zulu Beats was dope.
So I've been fortunate enough to have the Helix mattress. Let me tell you, it's incredible. I took the Helix quiz, which is what you'll do, and I was matched with the Midnight Lux, which happens to be their most awarded mattress, because I wanted something with a medium feel, and I tend to sleep on my side. And let me tell you, it's amazing. It's made with luxury memory foam that's specifically designed to offer pressure point relief for side sleepers, like myself. So now I don't wake up with sore hips or shoulders anymore, because I got huge shoulders. I'm a very masculine guy. And Helix makes it really simple to find the right mattress. If you're looking for a mattress, you take the quiz, you order the mattress that you're matched to, and then the mattress comes right to your door, shipped for free. You don't ever need to go to a mattress store again. You can't always avoid getting sad, but you can avoid mattress stores that make you sad. Just go to helixsleep.com/Peters. Take their 2-minute sleep quiz, and they'll match you to a customized mattress that will give you the best sleep of your life. They have a 10-year warranty, and you get to try it out for 100 nights risk-free. They'll even pick it up for you if you don't love it. But believe me, you will. Helix is offering up to $200 off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners at helixsleep.com/Peters. That's helixsleep.com/Peters for up to $200 off and 2 free pillows. Sleep well, my friends.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of,
a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but, like, I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now.
Meaningful Beauty. Beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
Where's Africa Islam now?
He is in Germany.
Living there?
Yeah, he's been living there for a long time.
Damn.
Germany.
Yep.
Where?
I don't know.
Get him over here immediately.
So Rocksteady was part of Zulu Nation?
Yeah.
Yeah, for yeah. sure.
I mean, we were our own thing, but yeah.
You know, there was this, I heard this whole, I know it's not true, but I heard this whole theory about why they were called B-Boys. You know that story, right?
No, I don't.
They were saying that
I'm going to be offended, right?
Yeah, you are. I don't, you know,
there's a couple of
people going to get mad at me if I say
no, but there's
it,
a couple of real things, and but you might
they were called Bam's Boys.
Bam's Boys.
You burnt the fuck out.
And if you know, you know.
Burnt the fuck out.
Oh my god.
I'm going to leave that one alone.
Ah, yeah. Ah, good choice.
Walk right into that one.
No, but within the gay community, they used to have a slang called B-Boys, which was Banji Boys.
Banji?
Yeah.
Banji Boys.
Dig that.
What the Banji
which
mean?
Is kind of like hard rock homos.
Oh, like, yeah, like
the first generation.
Like,
Yeah.
Like gay thugs and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's. Yeah. You just fuck
or you could just say
on this shit.
The city of
but
Atlanta.
But it's a separate scene, though.
Yeah, I'd say so.
What's the other story you heard?
No, just regular just B-Boys, Bronx Boys, Break Boys, Break right. Girls, whatever.
Yeah, I always understood B-Boy to mean that they danced on the break. Hence, yeah. You know, break on the break.
But originally it was Bronx Boy.
Okay.
Yeah,
that makes
yeah,
more
that's
sense.
That's what I was going to ask. Mm-hmm.
What if you're from Brooklyn? You could still be a B-Boy then.
He got
what if you
there.
You could, but
could be from
but
Queens see, and be a
this
B-boy.
This is the thing. That was Bronx Boy because he was from the Bronx. But if he, you know, he knows he's from New York City like me. And the Bronx has stood for the Bronx Boy. But everywhere else in New York City, the B-Boy stands for Break Boy.
Right.
He was a Break Boy.
Yeah, but so the yeah. B-Boy, so, the, so like I said, the first crew I was in was the Bronx Boys. Which was also known as the B-Boys. But and then also Kool Herc, when he would throw on, about to throw on breakbeats, whoever would be on the mic and say, B-Boys, are you
that's
ready?
That's why they call it breakdancing.
B-Girls, are you ready?
They call it breakdancing.
Well, back, no, but we didn't B-boy. Call it breakdancing back then.
Huh?
It wasn't called breakdancing back
well,
then.
Well, the B standing for break boy when,
right.
when it
break
first
boy,
came out.
Break
no,
girl.
Not when it first came out.
Yeah, when you started no, when doing
it,
the footwork.
No, when it first
rock,
came out, it was Bronx
you
Boys.
You're roller skating right now, Franz.
Yeah. he had it cracking, though.
No, nah, no. Nah.
Good.
But when you used to turn
the
side.
Go backwards.
Let, me give you the evolution. It went from Bronx Boy to B-Boy. And then when Run DMC did I'm a B-Boy standing in my B-Boy stance.
Oh, yeah.
That was honest.
They got that wrong. Although Jam Master J used to break. But what they took as the meaning for B-Boy was standing like this.
Right.
Which for us, that was the hard rock stance, not the B-Boy stance. There was no such thing as a B-Boy stance.
I dig that.
So it's funny because to me, it's like, all right, well, this is our element. Why are they trying to take credit? They don't do this. So there was a conference up in San Francisco, and I'm like the panelist assassin. I'm like, yo, like, why do you guys call yourself B-Boys? And they were like, oh, well, you know, we didn't use the word back in Queens, but when we heard it, we thought it sounded fly, so we called ourselves B-Boys. So they didn't know what they were doing.
Damn.
So now, with the terms and everything, which ones... See, because I would look at you as the authority for this stuff, for what the names of shit should be. That's just the way I look at you. So... what terms have you accepted throughout the years that didn't make sense to you before that has become kind of like...
I accept... All right, so the word breakdance actually came from my manager. We were in a meeting in 1982, and she misspoke. She had a British accent, and she was just like saying something. And she said, breakdancers. And we just started screaming on her because we didn't know what breakdancers were. And, you know... she was our publicist also, so she was feeding that information out there to the press. That's how the word breakdancing came about. Because in the 70s, it did not exist at all. Yeah, and you may talk to an old school head, and they'll be like, yeah, we was breakdancing, but these are also old school heads that are so disconnected from the history and that period that they're just going along with what's the norm.
So, see, for me, hip-hop wouldn't exist without B-boys and graffiti artists.
Exactly.
I think it wouldn't be called hip hop.
Yeah, it was all in one right, culture.
No, but I'm
together.
Saying, like, so when people say hip hop is a style of music, I go, it's really not.
Exactly.
It's because part it's not of, like. It's part of a thing, but it's not a style of music.
Right. It's not like anyone, I don't care if they could say whoever made up hip hop, but it's like, all right, well, what trains did that person do, or what walls? What B-boy, B-girl battles was that person in? What rhymes did that person say? So to give any one person credit for creating hip-hop is kind of ridiculous, because then you have to go through all these different elements, and was that person that talented to have excelled in all those things? And, you know, because then you got to, if you're going to say a person created hip-hop and they say they, like, all right, they created graffiti, so now we got to talk to Tacky 183 and Lee Quiñones and compare notes with them.
Right.
And no one person
can
stake that claim.
I think Kool Herc became the father of the hip hop style of DJing. Not even really, but musically. Like,
so do you know how he was dubbed father of hip hop?
No, I don't.
All right, so in 82, when we did the New York City Rap Tour, that was the first hip hop tour ever done before it was called hip hop, and also known as the Roxy Tour.
The Roxy Tour?
Yeah.
It was it sponsored by the Roxy?
Huh? No, it was sponsored by Europe One and FNAC. So we were on that tour, and Bambada was doing interviews, and he was the one who named hip hop. He's the one that gave it the umbrella name. And
Bam did.
Yeah, Bam. And made it official.
So you were Bam's boys.
No, buddy. Not that party. So he ended up naming hip hop, and so when he didn't want the credit, because, like, even fine, Bam had his problems, but he's the dude that corralled everyone, and he was the first person saying, I want the B-boys here, I want the writers here, and I want all these different elements at my party. And, you know, we got to give him that credit. And so you figure 9 years of existence, it had no name. It was just like, yo, you break, yo, you write, you DJ, you MC. And that's how you are identified.
Right. So, and they just all happen to be in the same circle.
Yeah.
Kind of like if you braked, you liked the way graffiti looked. And if you braked, you needed this particular style of music to do it to.
It was
and the MC
ghetto
wasn't,
folk art.
Yeah, but it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't like. You know, it wasn't like there was rappers. It was, you weren't a rapper. You were an MC for a DJ.
Yeah. Nobody was talking about rapping back then.
Yeah. Yeah.
So where does the...
It was just MC.
So, but I'm saying you guys went hand in hand, right? The music
and
the MC,
of course.
And the breaking.
Yeah, because we would go to their jams. Because usually, since there were no rap records, it would be them playing whatever top 40 plus break beats. And then at a certain time... Furious Five gets on the mic and does their show.
Right.
You know, but when the breakbeats were on, the B-boys and B-girls were hitting the floor. When the songs like Good Times are on, you're dancing with the girls.
And you wouldn't dance to the break of Good Times?
Nah.
Not too slow?
Nah, we had way better shit than that.
All right, so how did that become, you know what I'm saying, the song that y'all always broke to?
Because we liked it.
All right.
Because if we didn't like it, they ain't gonna play it. And that's before my time. So you, I would say ask one of the older people like Kaz and them about that, because that's their lane. I ain't as old as those dudes.
Yeah, I always think.
Oh, that's fucked up.
Wow.
It's like,
they don't, you know, by the way, they only have like 5 years.
I'm a youngin. I'm a youngin.
You have to respect the generation before
exactly,
you.
Exactly, yeah, and I do. And that's why I refuse.
Remember, we were talking about that earlier?
Yeah, why I refuse to fully answer that question.
Right.
Because
exactly,
I don't think
you don't know.
It's
don't
not
know.
My place.
Would you, okay, so was Jimmy Castor Brunch, was that a. Was that a song from your generation or the generation before you then?
We got that from, I mean, I started in 77. These dudes all started like 73, 74. So I'm still within a generation, but a tail end of a certain era.
Right.
12 years old.
But yeah, I mean, I grew up on shit the same way everyone else did. We were all watching Soul Train and growing up to our parents' music, like the Stylistics, the Moments and all that stuff.
All of that, yeah.
Even Barbara Streisand, Johnny Mathis, you're hearing all these things. So, you know, I grew up on a variety of music and salsa.
Yeah,
you know, my uncles would have jam sessions in my house. They played timbales, upright bass, organ, all that stuff was happening.
So wait, and people
Johnny
don't
Pacheco.
Pacheco.
Yeah.
I think people don't realize that salsa was created in the Bronx.
No, salsa was created in Spanish Harlem.
Oh, really?
Was it?
I heard the Bronx.
Yeah, I could be wrong.
And then,
you're older than me, right?
Johnny Pacheco.
I heard that it started in the Bronx, and then musicians from Spanish Harlem,
and Hector Lavoe. Hector Lavoe.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When Johnny did you? Guys
I think
start
Hector Lavoe is Russian, right?
Huh? Yeah, you called me. You got a call back. That's funny.
When did the routines start coming in where you guys were actually?
Routines were always part of breaking. That was happening before I started breaking. So that was, I mean, again. I leave that to the older dudes.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global. Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but like, I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now.
Meaningful Beauty. Beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
What you want to take credit for? Let's get with that.
You know, I don't really...
I know you don't want to take any fucking
credit. All right, so here's the thing.
Can you take credit for the backspin?
Yes.
Yeah.
Windmill, backspin. The windmill, 1990. Backspin. Threads.
All right.
What are threads?
Threads.
Really? Oh, right.
All that stuff. Oh, yeah. Like your boy Dizzy does.
Oh, yeah. Wow. So, I don't like threads, actually.
Thank you.
So. No, I mean, I look at him, I go, man, I don't, it was too easy for me to do that then. I was like, this came too easy. It can't be a good move.
Oh,
that's how I looked at it.
Should have evolved it.
Yeah, well, I couldn't. We didn't know it could evolve. I remember the first time I saw a 1990, First of all, when I heard the name, I go, 1990, that's the fucking future.
Oh, no, but here's the thing. Even with the 1990, so we were already traveling. So when we would come up with moves and we're on the road, people would rename them because it's not like they were hanging with us. They would see us do certain things and then they call it something else. So the 1990 was actually someone else's move, which was a different move. And then my move was just called a handspin, but people just mixed everything up. So the person who created an actual move called the 1990 gets shitted on and loses that title. So
I remember the I remember the first time I saw a 1990, I was like, yo, what the fuck did that guy just do?
And I never even did it well. I just came up with it and other people evolved it.
It was like one spin and then you jump down.
Yeah.
And then you see these cats.
First time we saw it was Beat Street.
These Korean cats jumping on one hand, doing like 50 turns.
Beat Street, that was my movie. Beat Street.
Yeah.
I like that movie.
Wild Style was actually my
movie. Yeah, I like Wild Style too. But I like
Beat Street. Yeah, for me, Wild Style is better.
Like y'all didn't like Breaking.
Listen.
Why are y'all trying to pass by Breaking?
Let me break down Breaking.
Oh, no. Breaking was the, come on now. Rest in peace, Shabba-Doo, who just passed
what
away.
What y'all did, but
what, about four or 5 months ago.
That was my dude, man.
Yeah, a year ago, actually.
Yeah.
No.
It's been about a year?
No,
about
no.
About 5 months. Few,
like, no, like 2-3 months ago.
I think five. I think more like... Mm-mm.
Oh, it was this year, actually.
Google.
I'm having
Google.
This year.
Google.
Yeah. Pass,
hold on.
Unless I've been that busy...
I still want to know why you passed my. You can't pass.
Nah, he passed away about 4 or 5 months.
You can't pass Breaking.
No, I mean, I was never into that movie.
I ain't saying part two.
All right, so here's the thing.
Breaking was a shit. Turbo, Shabba-Doo. Yeah, they did their thing for the West Coast.
There you go.
To be fair,
for the West Coast. Yeah.
I didn't like Beat Street. I didn't like Breaking. And the thing is that it's like the people act like the only thing you can do with a storyline from the hood is make sure that you pair up one of us with some white girl ballerina. And that shit is just fucking corny and not real.
I can dig it.
Yeah, there's only one way out the hood and you need a white cosign to get out.
Exactly.
Yeah. What was Henry Chalfant though? Was he black?
Yeah, but he wasn't the only person. I give Henry Chalfant a whole lot of credit, but that was a short moment in time. But I was also dancing for several years before that. Mm. And I was already making a name for myself by running into like territory where I wasn't really welcomed and just to go battle somebody and then get chased out of the neighborhood. You know, Henry Chalfant wasn't there with his little Volkswagen to get me out of there.
He's still alive?
Yeah. Henry's the man.
Never met him either. A lot of people I'd
when
like to
meet. When was
the
last 1990 you did?
Yeah.
Very last.
Maybe in 1990.
Did you guys have a lot of black breakers?
Yeah. Yep. Rocksteady was always a very diverse group.
I remember
that. There was a lot of blacks or Puerto Ricans.
We were very well. Mr. Freeze was French Jew. He was born in France.
Really?
Yeah. Good. Mr. Freeze was actually breaking probably a year before me.
Really? Well, he's from the Bronx, but his parents were French?
They were in concentration camps as well. Tatted up.
Oh, wow.
Oh, he was a Jew?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. He was actually Friesenstein. People don't know that about him.
That just happened.
So, yeah. Freeze is easily, I would say maybe the second Caucasian B-boy in history.
Oh, I'm getting Mr. Freeze. You know what?
First.
I'm getting Mr. Freeze and Frosty Freeze.
Oh, no. Frosty Freeze, his family was from Belize.
Oh, he's Belizean.
Oh, Belizean. Yeah. Okay.
So Caucasians were breaking in the
76.
Beginning.
Yeah. Now,
dig that.
Yeah. And there was in Manhattan, there was this other dude named Chinese Flash.
Word?
Yeah.
Was he fresh?
He was dope.
Was he
and
Chinese?
That was like 1980, though.
Was he Chinese?
He was Chinese, yeah.
And he was dope?
Yep. The funny shit is that I think he was down with these dudes called the Shamrock Crew. So it's all fucked up in there. Like,
so he was the only
dudes,
Chinese guy?
Black dudes in an Irish crew named with Chinese Flash.
And he's black.
So how come y'all couldn't pop,
he's
though?
Really Chinese.
No, Chinese.
Popping and locking get incorporated into b-boying?
It was
because that was a completely separate style of dance.
Yeah, that
robot popping.
That's West
locking.
Coast. That's Fresno. That's. I mean, people were imitating what they saw on Soul Train.
Yep.
And they wrongly called the dance Electric Boogie because they saw the Electric Boogaloos on Soul Train. So a lot of people in New York did it wrong. So they would mix up what they saw from the Electric Boogaloos and the Lockers. And that's like mixing salsa and merengue. It just doesn't work. So yeah, that was 81?
What? The incorporation?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because I was always, like, I liked waves and pops and locks. I didn't really like locking that much. Locking always looked corny to me. Always. Like, I would watch it. I go, oh, come on. I don't want to see this fucking rerun shit. You know, I would always look at it like that. I was like, because it looked too happy. They don't have a big smile.
It had its place, though.
That was a West Coast thing. I can't speak for that. He has to handle that one.
Like, that's on him.
No, it had its place.
I associate popping with the West Coast because they would pop fucking dope. These guys would pop hard out here.
Yeah.
You had to be able to hit and animate. I was talking
to Crazy Legs about Mr. Animation the other day because he was fucking dope. But he was a real gangbanger.
Yep. Yeah.
The majority of the cast were real gangbangers.
Skeeter Rabbit, rest in peace to him too.
See, locking was more of a thing, you know what I mean, where, you know, cats would do, they had their routines together. It was more of that type of situation.
Yeah.
Versus popping, it started off one kind of way where everybody was together, but then when y'all started making y'all migration this way, then it became something that was more.
But, you know, I think they were, some of those people were already doing things that were not even on most people's radar. It's kind of like you had Grandmaster Flowers opening up for
James Brown
at Yankee Stadium.
Yep.
And I didn't even know who Grandmaster Flowers was at that time. I didn't know who he was until 77. I think that was, what, 73, 74?
No, it was 69 or something. 69. Like that.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Grandmaster Flowers in 69.
Yeah. He opened for James Brown back in the day.
Did you guys have to deal with you know, the whole MC, like that really didn't become prevalent until later with y'all, like having MCs where everything separated basically.
No, everything consolidated.
Everything was getting together at that point. You know, I mean, MC. I think when people just started getting more record deals, that's when you started seeing DJs and MCs become separated, and you know, you couldn't monetize graffiti or breaking at that time. So, you know, people just focused on, all right, where's the money? Rap. You can produce records. Yeah, you know,
get to the bag. I got you.
Copies and copies and copies.
And then the rappers were like, you guys want to come on tour with us? We need something to, because we don't really have a performance.
I've never background danced for anybody.
That was my next question.
If I did, it would be like a feature for KRS-One or somebody that I really respected or somebody that was a friend that I did a favor for, but nah.
Why you say it with so much visceral?
Because to him, he's a foreground dancer. He ain't a background dancer.
That's true.
His whole shit was a performance. So
yeah,
it's kind of like, don't use my performance to up your whack performance.
Basically,
your lack of performance.
But he just said he wouldn't back anybody.
They were the Viagra to those guys. They come in with their limp show, and the Rocksteady Crew would get you rock hard. That's actually where the name came from, guys. It was actually the Rock Hard Steady Crew.
So you guys just kept it going for generations.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean,
your son never b-boyed?
Nah.
Isn't that wild?
My son works in a financial field.
That's wild, though. Like, you would think
that is a good thing.
But I always told my son, you know, since he was a kid, I told him, yo, people are going to ask you, do you dance like your dad? And I told him, you know, when they ask you that, just say, yo, my dad said that he didn't have options. I have options, you know? So I never wanted that pressure to be on him.
Right, yeah, right. Let him do him. Yeah.
It's like expecting your kids all to be funny.
Just what we were talking about earlier, also the generation.
What?
Just like we were talking about earlier, the generations change.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And you got to let them do what they do.
Yeah. It's the animation.
Did you ever dance with?
Who?
No. I just messing around, but no, not really.
Jazzy Jeff's kids don't DJ. No, except for his oldest son.
One of them MCs, though, right?
Yeah, Amir MCs and Corey, I think, DJs now.
Yeah.
My son plays golf. So, you know.
Yeah, but he's really dope. He's got really fast They call him Crazy Clubs.
Crazy.
He's nice. Is he nice? He's legit nice. So
I've never played golf. I'm not much of a.
Yeah, my golf looks like bowling.
Oh yeah. Like I hold
lift.
I hold the fucking golf club like a hockey stick because I grew up in Canada.
Force of habit, right?
Yeah. The old Russian sport of golf. Oh, sorry, Franz, you were saying?
Do you still judge people? Like, when did you stop?
I still judge, yeah.
No, I mean, as far as letting people into the Rocksteady.
Oh, I haven't been in charge of Rocksteady.
Who's in charge of it?
In terms of right now, no one. But I stopped doing those things, like picking people to be in Rocksteady in like 5 years ago.
Big deal.
So, because I'm more focused on my efforts in Puerto Rico and just other San projects Juan? That I want to do. No, I have a music festival called Puerto Rocksteady out there.
Oh, dope.
And, you know, of course, the Rocksteady history, but also back in the days, Puerto Rocks.
Yeah, Puerto
Rocks. Yeah, so I felt like, all right, well, I have the ability to get people.
We need you to expand on Puerto Rocks because yeah. Many people listening going, fuck's
yeah,
Puerto
I'm
Rock?
From L.A., homie. I was going to wait.
Puerto
Rocks.
Puerto
over.
Rican, the slang was Puerto Rocks.
Yeah.
For referencing us, that's all.
Oh. Fair. Look, as much as I love fast food, I know that I can't eat it all the time. But cooking can be consuming and annoying. So it's hard to motivate me to do it. Like, really difficult to do that. But now that I'm using HelloFresh, cooking is no big deal for me. I mean, it's still kind of a big deal for me. But it's fast, it's easy, and all the recipes are right there, and they're really delicious. With HelloFresh, you get fresh, pre-measured ingredients and mouth-watering seasonal recipes delivered right to your door. I can tell you right now that my mouth is actually watering. You can skip trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. That's why it's America's number one meal kit. You know I love a deal, right? So believe me when I tell you that HelloFresh is a great deal. It's 28% cheaper than shopping at your local grocery store and 72% cheaper than going to a restaurant. And the thing is, their meals taste like amazing restaurant meals. So it's a win-win situation. I think the best thing for me is how much flexibility I have with HelloFresh. My schedule changes all the time, so I need flexibility. And with HelloFresh, I can skip orders when I know I won't be home. And I can customize my box every week so that if I have friends staying with me, there's enough food for them too. I can even double up on my kids' favorite recipes to keep them happy. Yes, I know what you're thinking. Who needs that many chicken nuggets? Hey, they give me options, which is super helpful. It really makes my life a lot easier. So go to HelloFresh.com/12Peters and use code 12Peters for 12 free meals, including free shipping. That's HelloFresh.com/12Peters. That's the number 12 and my last name, Peters. And use code 12Peters for 12 free meals, including free shipping. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but like, I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that?
why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now.
Meaningful Beauty. Beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
Yo, what's your background? Puerto Rock, motherfucker. What you think?
I'll tell you on the podcast. I really want to DJ at Puerto Rock Steady.
Yes.
One of them poolside parties or some shit.
Oh, yeah.
Playing some smooth house shit, you know?
Yes.
He thinking about it. Getting
no, no, because no,
I've been asking him for years now.
No, but I already got. We're trying to see when Puerto Rico starts opening things.
He knows
up.
I don't want money. I just want to go there and fucking, you know.
Yeah, we're charging him the DJ.
Yeah, actually, I'm paying them to.
Nah, people sleep on his DJ skills though. So that's the thing about.
Oh yeah,
people
yeah. Nah, I know Russell's legit.
Yeah, yeah. He get over there and just time it to death.
You know, I would house it to death.
You would house it to death over there? House it to death.
I would say Russell is, if you had like
Russell's shit, he tore it up.
If you had like a celebrity, like a Hollywood celebrity DJ battle, who's your competition?
I don't know. I don't know who else can DJ. I know plenty of people dabble.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean the DJ's in my mind. I mean,
right.
You bought a controller, whoopty fucking do. You know what I mean? Or maybe you did it a long time ago and you think you're going to come back to, well, the game changed. You know, you got to move with the game.
I'm thinking and I can't think of nobody.
I never stopped. I mean, Idris Elba DJs.
Paris, yeah, he's a real DJ.
So Paris
though.
Hilton
yeah, yeah.
really
but
did
he
your
does,
job.
He Paris does
Hilton,
dub,
Paris
though.
Hilton's the truth, yeah.
Yeah, Paris.
She took your job.
Yeah. She's as good at DJing as she is making porno tapes. And if you've seen the porno tapes, they're not very good.
You going to bring those up now?
Yo, I think Idris can... Well, I know he does dub, but I think he can.
No, he just plays house and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But he, again, if he plays like an English guy, then it's not really a problem to me because the English, there's a lot of England. They got great music. The DJs know music.
Yep.
But they play weirdly. Like they play weird. I remember being in England and like a fucking track will be playing, and right over the lyrics you hear, and they don't talk over it. They drop the music and then drop it back up. It'll be like. Mm. The song sing, and then all of a sudden, big out to the Brick Sync Posse, and then the music comes back up. North London Massive, I see you, and then back up. It's like it's always and you're like, what the fuck? Right over the lyrics, like yeah, you got to so drop, like yeah, do yeah. it over the instrumental part. Like
yeah, you can't catch the vibe.
But I guess that's their way when we don't want to copy the U.S. We're doing our own thing, and I'm like, yeah, but your own thing kind of fucks up the vibe of the party right now. And I heard DJs over there, like big DJs over there. Literally play a song out to the end. I'm like, the fuck was that?
Yeah, where's the musical Tourette's that you're supposed to have?
Well, no, I mean, you could like, you could play three verses and then fade the fuck, mix out.
Yeah.
You ain't got to do it right after first bar, but I'm just saying, at least mix your way out. A lot of guys are just like, fade out and fade in. You're like, what the fuck is this? I could have done this at home on my mom's stereo.
Oh, no mix?
Well, they don't really let records breathe no more anyway, so, you know
nah,
what I mean?
Not at all.
Well, that goes with the attention span of everybody. And also, when you're playing an old school party, you don't really need to hear the whole fucking song. You already know where the song goes.
Certain songs.
You want to play two verses and you're out of it.
Certain songs I could hear all night. Not all night. Certain songs I could hear for a while.
I'll play All Night by Trinier for you.
Love Dance.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Love Dancing.
Yeah.
That was a good song.
Oh, yeah.
The Underground Dance. Say Solution. Like Teddy Pendergrass or something.
Nah, Love Dance. I could hear Love Dance.
He's talking about
night.
House. See, house you can let ride because the house song's like 6-7 minutes long. So they're designed to be played for a long time.
Yeah, they are.
What's your favorite music to break to?
It's all funk and soul.
What's
and then
your
there's
funk
certain
language?
There's certain Latin percussion styles of records.
I noticed, yeah, the commonality in the stuff he likes has a lot of congos and bongos in it.
Yeah.
A lot of James Brown.
A lot of James Brown, yeah, definitely.
A lot of the do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-
I don't know who's gonna spit some on that. What you say?
Yeah, so yeah, it has to be a certain tuple. It has to be at least like 111 and better. Hmm. Or maybe even actually 116 and better.
What was your favorite move? What was your go-to?
His go-to, as far as I'm concerned, was shuffling.
Yeah, my footwork, I had good footwork.
His footwork was fucking incredible. always fast, smooth, even speed from the time he started to the time he finished. I would watch his shuffling and go, God damn, that motherfucker's nice.
I didn't realize anything about my footwork until maybe 10 years ago.
And your donkey kicks.
I never really did those much.
Those fucking...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, those swipes you would do.
Oh, swipes, yeah.
You would do those ones where your fucking torso twisted in a different direction.
So check it out. The reason for that is I have an underdeveloped coccyx bone.
Hey, man.
Not underdeveloped cock.
I have a... I already know where you're going. You have a coccyx, I have a six-inch cock.
When my coccyx bone is supposed to stop right there, mm-hmm. it's underdeveloped, so it goes through. Mm. That's why I'm able to do the swipes. But Jimmy D taught me swipes.
There you are.
David Letterman, dick.
The old, can I? I was on the show. Can I talk to him? Trick. Who's that? Ken?
Yeah.
He came on after you in B Street, right?
No. Because he Legs was the last one. Legs won the battle.
Yeah, when he took his shoes off.
Yeah.
So the funny thing is that one of us, I'm not going to say who, I think was coming off of smoking dust the night before.
There's a windmill. When we nice filmed this. Fucking windmill. Little bent leg on it, but that's not too bad.
Yeah, this is 83.
Wow.
We were promoting Flashdance.
How'd you create the windmill?
Accident.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. the backspin was an accident. The windmill was an accident. The 90 was an accident.
I was telling him that we used to call that backspin that Swift just did a New York City backspin.
Oh
yeah, everybody.
It looked like a dive. Yeah. It looked like he was going to do a windmill, and then he went into a backspin.
So that backspin is actually
there's
called
a donkey kick. Those are your swipes right there. Yeah. Look at that.
It was called.
Look at his coccyx go.
Yeah.
Can I call you coccyx?
You know
legs?
What I'm actually shocked about watching this now?
Wearing Lee's?
No.
Oh.
You had Converse.
Oh.
Instead of Pro Kids.
Yeah, we had a little bit more of a budget.
Yeah, but
Pro like $5.
Yeah, Pro Kids was hot back then.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, yeah. And I'm sure those sneakers were obtained by a stick up or something. Those Adidas, I'm sure somebody got stuck up and we went shopping.
Was y'all trying to battle each other?
No, we were just doing
a
demo.
All right.
This was for on David Letterman.
Can I share the story you told me about how you came back from the Wild Style tour and didn't realize you were famous?
That was, you mean in Hawaii?
When you went to go stick somebody up and they recognized you.
No, that never happened.
No, you told me you were a stick-up kid and then you
realized... you're mixing stories up.
No. Okay, it might not be the same story, but you went out and you were like, somebody recognized you and you went, I don't think I could rob anybody anymore because people know who I am. Is that fair?
No, I mean, it sounds good.
Well, then we should make that folklore.
Yeah, cool. Let's do it.
Hey, DMX did the same thing before. Tried to rob somebody while he was famous.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. God rest his soul, but yeah, DMX.
Yeah, we were wilding out, man. We were not.
There it goes.
Look at that unshaped afro.
Who was your personal nemesis, though?
I didn't have one.
It was a crack pipe.
No, I didn't have one. I was teaching a lot of people. And I started meeting all these people because in the Bronx, breaking was dying out. And I was just getting better. And then I had to find other people to battle. Mm. So I became like this mercenary B-boy. Once I would battle someone, they'd be like, oh, shit, just lost the legs. I'm going to get legs to battle somebody else who I lost to before. And they would use me for revenge.
Dig that.
And then that's how I started recruiting people. So I had never done this move before.
You just did it in the movie?
I just did it in the movie. They were like, hey, we need to end the movie, the scene somehow. The best move ends it. I'm like, all right, cool. Let me try this shit.
Oh, when you shot that, how many times did y'all have to do that same fucking battle, though?
Once.
Oh, yeah, because that's a hard
one. We just kept going and going and going.
That's Tony Touch video here?
Yeah. Yo, we got exploited in so many ways, bro. We literally got exploited by Richard Branson. Mm. Yeah.
Wow. A billionaire.
He gave us $1 million deal where we all got $7,000 each.
Wow, that's fucked up.
Yeah. Oh, well.
It's where the fuck did the rest of the money go?
Recuperable?
Wow.
So they say money to pay recuperable, y'all you know?
Was that for the intro video of their flights?
No.
This was
before an airline existed with him.
This is when he had Virgin Records.
Yeah,
well, right. That's so Uproc and Hey You came out on Virgin, right?
That was all Richard Branson.
That's right. That's probably why I found the fucking 45 in England.
Yep.
And the picture disc.
Yeah, so it was...
Man, I had that picture disc, too, at some point.
Yeah, Charisma and Virgin was the distributor.
I forgot about that label, too.
Yep.
Trust me, he made millions of pounds.
Wait, Wiggles is from where?
Bronx, South Bronx.
Was he down with y'all from the beginning?
No.
Because I was going to say, I don't remember him in the early 80s.
Yeah, he was around, though.
But he wasn't in Beach Street.
Yes, he was.
Was he?
Ho, ho, ho. Open up your door.
Oh, that's him.
The dancer's in there.
That's right, shit. But he didn't dance at the Roxy or in the train station or nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever want to MC or produce?
Yeah,
or DJ
back then
anything?
We did everything until you figured out what you were good at. Mm-hmm. So you know, obviously I wasn't good at MCing.
Legs is actually a really solid DJ. He gets busy. He plays down here. Mixing's on point, cutting's on point.
When did Total Headspin come out?
What?
The Total Headspin, right? When they started spinning all the way, like, 20, 30 times.
No, so the first headspins were done before I started dancing. The other ones came up in like 1980.
Wait, what about when the cats started using helmets and just kept going? Remember that shit?
That was like
83.
Really?
Wiggle's cousin was the first one to do that.
With a helmet?
Yeah.
Wow.
Where did the flare come from? Who was the first to do that?
That was from the fucking...
That was this dude named German. A Puerto Rican cat.
Wait, wasn't it already in the gymnastics world on the
yeah,
horse?
But he just did like he was a gymnast also, but he just brought it. He's the one who brought it into breaking.
So for me, I stopped dancing in 85 because nobody was doing it anymore.
True,
and I didn't want to look like the nerdy kid that's still hanging on to it. But the fucked up part for me was I didn't get my windmill down until it started to end. I was like, motherfucker, I just got this move now.
But that's what happened to me, because in 79, when I started getting better, breaking was already dying for the first time.
Hmm. And that was only in the Bronx, though. But since that's the only place you really saw.
For the most part, yeah.
How many times have you had to revive it?
Two times.
But it's huge across the world now, though.
Yeah, now it sustains itself. It's going into the Olympics in 2024. And hopefully they do that right.
Yeah, it had some downtime from about 85 to, I'd say, about 90.
Yeah, because the thing is that it may have been down over here, but it was doing well in Japan and Germany, especially.
There were some dope b-boys in my hometown growing up.
In Canada?
Yeah.
It was always the Filipino guys that were badass.
Gizmo.
Gizmo from Toronto?
Yeah, Gizmo. He was in Bag of Tricks.
Oh, okay, yeah. I know
Bag of Tricks. Telling you about your hood.
Well, no, I know. I know Bag of Tricks. But again, those are all like, those are way younger cats to me. Those guys all came up in the 90s.
But they kept them alive up there.
They did. They brought it back.
Yeah, Intricate Crew.
Yeah.
That was their rivals.
Well, you know, guys, I enjoyed this.
Yeah, me too.
This was very, very, very watchful.
It was informative, if not entertaining.
It was watchful. It was
Sorry,
watchful.
I bored you.
Nah. You said some stuff straight on the real. He's talking about everything else.
Listeners were like, I didn't like this one. I'm like, that's your fucking problem, man. Yeah.
Oh, no. The one thing about B-boys and B-girls, when it comes to stuff like this, they're on it, and they'll play it over and over again. If you look at any movie that has even just any kind of dance in it, the most viewed scenes of any movie is the dance.
Listen, I told you this before, too, but if any music video in the early 80s had any breakdancing in it, I would fucking watch the video, even if the song was trash. I would watch Party Train by the Gap Band because it had some ill b-boying in it. Save the overtime
for me.
Yeah,
were you in that? Who was in that?
No, that was New York City Breakers.
Because it was a really nice windmill in that one.
Yep.
Where did you film Flashdance?
Pittsburgh and L.A.
Really? Oh, okay. Pittsburgh?
Yeah, we filmed the last scene over here where I doubled for Jennifer Beals.
Oh, right.
You look the same.
I saw that one coming.
Which scene? Was it the one where she poured the water on herself?
The outdoor scene with you and Mr. Freeze?
No, indoors. There? Indoors. When she's auditioning.
All right. Spinning on her back.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was your backstory?
Well, they put a wig on you?
If you zoom in, you'll see a bulge. That's me.
That ain't happening. That ain't gonna happen. Nah, you gave the game up for real. You gave the game up.
Oh man, now that was
that's dope.
That was I was humiliated. They wanted me to shave my newly peach fuzz mustache, as a Puerto Rican growing up in the Bronx, they're like, as soon as it's growing, yo, you got to shave it for this thing. Like, oh, man.
You have to put a wig on?
Yeah, wig, capizios, tights, oh, leotard, damn. Shaved underarm, shaved mustache.
Damn, oh, man's man.
Yeah, they turn you into.
And now look at you. Shaved. Clean, shaven man.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks, Flashdance.
And I get waxed, right?
That's it. Yeah. His asshole's shiny, guys. I haven't seen it, but
that's
his wife's
a lot of information right now.
A lot of information. I want to thank my guests today on Culturally Canceled.
Thank you, sir.
We had my man, Ooh, from South Central.
Thank you.
From Nupius.
Thank
that's, you. That's New Pionius.
That's what we do.
I don't know how to fuck
it. It's too powerful for us, man. It's just Nupius. That's all you
I
got
know,
to
but
say.
You keep fucking breaking it down. New for
no, you wanted
for us
to know that.
With the 3D.
See, that's
the
light skin thing that you got going on
and
right
then,
now.
And then we want to thank our Russian friend, Franz Cassius, for being here.
Four. Man, they're killing me over here.
And the legendary Crazy Legs of the Rocksteady crew.
Thank you, man.
I appreciate and, it. And fucking Eddie.
I appreciate
Eddie.
You.
How dare
you're
you.
One of the realest hip-hop heads who has success and doesn't just say hip-hop for the hell of it. Like, you're fucking 100% legit. And it's refreshing to see, to communicate with someone who's just not talking shit.
Well, well, I am always talking shit. No,
yeah, I know I that, mean, but you know.
I mean, well, you know. What
you're, you're authentic.
I got the cosign from the man who introduced me to hip-hop. I think that's the best way to end this episode of Culturally Canceled. With myself, Russell Peters.
Yes. Damn.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Culturally Canceled. I hope you enjoyed today's conversation. I'm really excited to tell you that Culturally Canceled has a phone line now, so you can call in, leave a message, and ask me a question that I might answer on the show. So far, I've answered zero. Ask me about music, food, comedy, boxing, whatever. It's our little nod to the ways of the old school radio shows, so have fun with it. And if you like the podcast, be sure to rate and review it on Apple Podcasts so more people can find out about it. And if you're just a negative Nelly, keep it to yourself. And follow us on Instagram at Culturally Canceled and Culturally RP on Twitter. We're also on YouTube if you want to see what my backyard looks like in real life or just where we do the podcast. Until next week, I'll be here, you'll be there.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
We're all looking for ways to save, especially on medical bills. But where do you start? Unless you're a medical billing expert, finding savings can seem impossible. HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance and flags errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Saving starts with knowing where to look. Visit HealthLock.com today before you see another healthcare provider. When it comes to your job, you're likely well-versed, but what about your skin? Life's busy enough. It doesn't have to be a big chore to get well-versed skin. Check out the dermatologist-tested, cruelty-free vegan skincare products from Verst. It's under $25 and available at your local Target store, making it easier than ever to take care of your skin from head to toe. Podcast listeners, here's an exclusive deal. 15% off at VERSEDskin.com with code MEDIA15. That's VERSEDskin.com with code MEDIA15. Verst, available at Target.